Hey everyone, do I sound different? I turned my bedroom into a studio. Not to take too much more of your time, but I just want to give a quick additional thank you to all. Thanks to your support, I've been able to submit my podcast to a whole bunch of new podcast platforms. So go check out my Linktree. My Linktree is in my Instagram and Twitter bios. And if you don't see it there, it's probably in my anchor.fm/ZASMR page. Let's get into it, baby. Hello, welcome to the ZASMR podcast. I am your host, Isaiah Taylor, where you come to chill and get mentally relaxed and stimulated. Imagine all your worries disappearing in this moment. Can't get to grip, no worries. Listen to our stories and share your own with us on artists, anime, sports, mental health, and current events. Links to my blogs, my social media is in the description below. Just go to the anchor.fm/ZASMR link. Share, like, subscribe, leave me a message, DM me, follow me. Now let's get into, hey, who are you? Hey, you. Yeah, you. I like you. You know what you can do? You can head to the description or hit those three little dots on your screen and hit go to show. There you can leave me a voice message or support the podcast for as little as $1 a month through the anchor links you see there. No pressure. All right, pretend I wasn't here. Is Delana M.L.C.K. Thompson. How's it feel to be alive? How's it feel during this pandemic? Has anything during this pandemic affected you?
I think the pandemic's affected everyone. I've had about 16 different jobs. Dropped out of school, but I think that's the only major way that it's affected me. I don't know anyone that's had it or anything.
That's true. Delana is an artist doing art shows, selling prints, doing amazing things out there. Oh, truly. A part of my inspiration to want to do this podcast, what really other people believe in, that's their business. But I do find a problem with people not having empathy for others.
Respect
for others. And so the thing that really started this all and wanted me, or the reason I wanted to bring you on, was this tweet right here. Somebody said, somebody said, why are people so worried, scared about trusting, loving, serving, and putting their faith in God? A concept I truly cannot grasp. If you really analyze it, and at minimum, it's a win-win situation.
It's a very privileged thing to say.
And I have no problem with this person or what they believe in.
I don't know who this man is.
Or she. We don't know who it is. But the reason I wanted to bring you on was that you had an opinion. You said it was Pavlov's dog. Or something.
No, there's a theological argument called Pascal's wager that is, I mean, it's the same thing pretty much. It's a wager that if you are discussing with someone and trying to get them to become a Christian, and you've exhausted every other argument and you just can't convince them, then what you're supposed to do is say, well, if you believe in God, then when you die, you go to heaven. And if you believe in God and you're right, then you, when you die, you go to heaven. And if you believe in God and you're wrong, then you die and nothing happens. So you can't lose because that's what you thought was going to happen anyways. And, it's dumb. It's a dumb argument.
I just saw it as, how could someone who's probably gone through the church not realize how the people in the church could have negatively affected people's opinions?
Because that's how people still go to church. They choose to not see, so it cannot exist.
Well, I personally told my story about not necessarily the religion, but I took it as the people using that religion to take advantage of others. And in some instances, it's they're taking their time, which no one can get back, and manipulating it, or they're lying, or they're just doing it for personal gain.
You mean like people that are trying to...
The cult story.
Okay.
For me. And I just... I just knew this wasn't right because I know there was a report recently about how many boys the Catholic Church has messed up for life. Mm-hmm. And we know that you've had struggles with the church. And even if it bare minimum, if you just look at the school you went to and what they did to you and what they did of people who were a part of the LGBTQ.
Should I explain my background?
Let's explain Delaina's background.
My opinion.
Other than being an artist and an amazing person.
Sorry. Yeah, so I grew up going to a Wesleyan church for most of my life, like every day almost. Like everyone was very active in the church. We had a home group in our house once a week. We would go to church at night and then the youth church in the middle of the week, and then the home group the next day, and then the whole thing. And when I was around 10 or 11, some missionaries came and visited the church. My parents really liked them, and we went to visit them overseas. And about 2 years later, we then moved to that same country with them where it was illegal to be a missionary. So we had like a fake job and all of this. I wasn't allowed to like go outside or do anything because it wasn't normal there. So I had a lot of time just by myself, and it was very lonely and isolating. And that got me into some fun situations. And we were there for around 2 years, maybe a little more, when the police found out that us and a bunch of other people were doing illegal activities as being missionaries. So we got deported. And from there, we stayed in Turkey for a little while. And eventually it was decided that we would move to Austria during the refugee crisis. And there, it was less unusual to be a foreigner. It was there that I was kind of like, yeah, I don't want to go to church. My whole entire life, I was judged in the church, and kids and like full grown adults would bully me and call me names and criticized every single thing that I did. I remember the first time I wore makeup to church. And people made fun of me the whole time, made fun of me as a kind word. And, so I was finally just like, yeah, seems it doesn't even matter what country I go to church in. I do not like it here, and people do not like me here. And so the compromise was I don't have to go to church if I'm grounded every Sunday. And that was better than going to church. So I did that. And I was like, but obviously I was a teenager. So I was like, well, that's interesting. So I'm allowed to not go to church because you can't force a religion on me. But if you don't succeed in forcing your religion on me, there's consequences for me. Understood. That was kind of where I started. I kind of started rebelling a little my whole life. But when I communicated it, that was probably my senior year of high school. So I was thinking about college. So I didn't really want to go, but I also really liked school. So I kind of did want to go. And new freshmen, international students were also just white American missionary kids that I had never gotten along well with and still did not get along well with. Receive a lot of hate from other students and from the school. The school's known for taking away scholarships from people of color or international students, using them for their posters, but not valuing them in real life, not helping them through their academic journey, and just kicking them out for no reason, for kicking people out because a white student said that they said something rude to them, things like that.
It wasn't just blacks. I mean, yeah, it wasn't just like black students though. It was also if you were.
Right. Yeah. Also queer students. And while I was in college was the first time that I, you know, knew what those were, because I wouldn't say I grew up sheltered, but I grew up sheltered. yeah. And so I was also kind of coming into like, oh, there's other options. I am the other options. But yeah, it was not allowed in this school to be any flavor of queer. And if faculty found out, then you would all be expelled. Unless you, you know, did the Christian thing and didn't act on it and pretended you weren't. There would be some exceptions made as long as you were white. But yeah, even like, even faculty members that were people of color were going through this as well. Yeah, and, you know, had some scholarships taken away slash didn't really ever qualify for them like I thought I would, but no one told me that. And so I left that school real quick.
It was snatched away.
Yeah.
It was snatched away.
Right? I mean, there was a lot of confusion and things I don't really understand still, but I've been told I didn't qualify for those scholarships, that I never was told I would receive those scholarships, but I know that I would never have gone to this school.
True.
For any other reason. I never wanted to be there.
Yeah.
So
that's your story.
Yeah, that's my background.
And I just want to put in, I just want to put in here that this is to show that the people in the church can push you away.
They're very good at it.
People, not everyone, but people in the church are some of the most judgmental people I've ever seen. And you also talked about seeing other people that look like you. I know that some people, maybe even people that made tweets like this, go to churches where they see people like them and they aren't in places where they don't have that choice, or they aren't queer and they don't have that choice of, like we want to talk about, I guess we can talk about now, the progress or a quote unquote progressive, according to the Jubilee video. We don't have to watch it, but I at least remember. Mm-hmm. Some people have never, you know, been queer and been in that position to be in the church still, or feel like you have to be there, or feel like you don't belong,
or be forcibly removed.
So I think it's just a very ignorant statement to just assume everyone's experiences are like yours, and that everyone
probably 1% of people have the same experience I have.
Oh, not just, exactly. So not everyone's experiences are the same. And before we talk about the Jubilee video, I just have the quote from the New Evangelicals that I resonated with, because as someone who was like, man, I don't know if I can believe in God anymore after being manipulated, this gave me a little bit of hope. I mean, I've just now, after 2 years, been able to say, I think I believe in God. I think. I don't even think I can go back to church yet. I've been scarred. But here's the new evangelicals post on Instagram. I feel like there's so much. I am a Christian, but who cares about the earth if it's going to burn away? I am a Christian, but I won't let liberals control me by wearing a mask. I am a Christian, but it's okay to kill if I don't like the election results. I am a Christian, but we can't have illegal people coming into the U.S. I am a Christian, but they got pregnant, so that's their problem. They should have kept their legs closed. God said, you will know me by the people who follow me. And now that I'm seeing how the people who follow him really are, I don't know who he is anymore. I just thought that was a deep quote that I wanted to share for anyone that I don't know if they will, but for anyone who feels like they have to combat the things that we're saying, it's just a fact that not everyone's going to be turned on to the idea of being a Christian just because it's a win-win. Anyway, it's
often not for most people.
Yeah. And
it's often very much losing everything.
Yeah. And so, yeah, there's a Jubilee video. If you go look up liberal Christians versus conservative Christians, and they obviously Jubilee is a YouTube channel where they bring on two opposing sides and they try to like get them to reach a middle ground, and they see like who supports these things. Like, say they'll get like pro-life and pro-choice, and then they'll ask them questions to see.
Also known as liberal Christians versus.
Yes, actually. But I brought this video up, and I can remember now that it was some pastors who were queer, and obviously of the other side was Christians who were.
Well, there was
just straight old.
No, there was one of the conservative Christians that like talked the most in the video was he chooses not to identify as gay.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can stay in the church if he's gay but doesn't act on it.
Oh yeah. Living a lie.
Not according to him.
I know.
But, he chooses to be with Christ and not with men.
the
And I know a lot of people like that.
That's crazy. And I know growing up, I felt like I had no other choice. But now that I am older, and like once you get to college, around the age that you would go to college,
mm-hmm.
it for me, I know it was like, okay, let me explore other options. Like, you know, what else is out there? So I can become my best self for me and not for anyone else just because there's an ultimatum. I don't even know if I said that right. But in this video, what sticks out to me was, wasn't there a gay pastors on the liberal side or queer pastor?
Yeah, there was a married pastor that was, I mean, he had like a conversation specifically with the gay guy that chooses not to identify as gay.
I just remember one guy being like, you're queer and you're manipulating the word of Christ to fit your agenda.
Yeah.
And I'm just
that's
like,
that's a common argument.
But are not in the historical white Christians across the planet that have invaded and killed and come here.
Yeah, I mean,
have they not been pushing their agenda on forcibly through violence,
mm-hmm.
And manipulating it to their own gain? I mean, I even had I don't know if I still have the thing open, if I'll even be able to get to it fast enough. Let's see.
There's a lot of conflict around a lot of conservative Christians tend to think that everything in the Bible should be taken literally.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a lot of more progressive Christians think that, you know, it's not, I don't want to say open to interpretation, but not to be taken extremely literally. And also with the knowledge that people change things in every translation.
Yeah. And Yeah. And that being said, the translations were changed. I didn't know this. The translations were changed to specifically use like homosexual or like man lie with a man only like 50 years ago. This is a current push by, I don't know why I'm getting so heated right now.
The Bible's always been politicized. So with whatever, you know, Christian rhetoric that wants to be pushed in the new decade, they'll change the Bible to say those things.
And also, you can tell it's up. You can tell that there's like a little bit of spiritual warfare, if you will, when it comes to interpretations of the Bible. Because when I look up Bible verses used to dispense horrible things, one of the people also search for is, can I Bible verses to kill your enemies? Are people trying to justify using the Bible to kill or to enslave or to, you know, or to be misogynist? Or, and I think that is the case. So that is, I didn't expect to get so turned up on that. And Reggie has joined us slightly in the video, if you cannot see our dog.
Just a snoop.
So yes, that was awesome. Thank you so much. Let's see what else we have, though. Well, we're going to get into some more lighthearted things. I mean, I don't know if you care, but Twitch went down and it leaked like how much streamers were making. Mm. And everyone was going after Hassan Piker, the guy sound that you were using.
Ow, Rich.
And he is a self-proclaimed socialist.
Yes, I've seen his videos.
Okay. And he just gets a lot of heat, but he also is saying like, tax me. You know, he is an advocate for socialism and has been able to, I can't believe this man. Yeah, he has his sub count on the screen. So you know how much he's making already. He doesn't ask for people.
But they leaked it again.
It's on screen. He, obviously is all about taxing the rich. He says he pays like almost 50% of his income is in taxes. He's donating all the time. He is like, I don't know if it's his IP or is his image or his likeness is free. And so a lot of people actually make a lot of money just using his videos for content. He was like, use me, use my whatever. And so there's a bunch of Hasanabi pages on YouTube, so people make a lot of money just using his videos. Because
interesting.
So he's like, use whatever you want to do. And I just, and just because he is successful, which he started out as a journalist, he's put in the work and doesn't ask for money. He doesn't ask for donations. And if you watch his streams, he openly says stop. But people like his content, and that is their right to support a creator. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, I have something. Well, speaking of supporting creators, I just have a little funny story. A hungry photographer deletes all photos and leaves after he was denied food at a wedding. That was crazy. Yep. They were only going to pay him like $200-something. Which is crazy. I don't know where it is. I only have the screenshot.
That would literally never happen here.
And then there was about being an artist. I had something. Oh, I was thinking about this, like as a independent indie podcaster and as you as an independent up and coming artist, when is it okay to make money? Like, I feel like I've seen you put in hours of work stressing over this, having people over, paying to get a table. And then I see how it's not disheartening, but I can see how frustrating it would be to put in all the work and then not have people show up, or, I don't know, put something out there and not have people support it. And it's like, yeah. I know there's downsides of social media, but there's positives of social media of getting yourself out there and just not seeing it hit. It's rough. And I was just like, man, I was just thinking, when is it okay to make money for like Twitch streamers or artists or podcasters? Like, I don't know. That was just an idea that popped out in my head. But if you don't have anything to say about it, or if you do, go for it. It feels like there's this lack of support.
Like no one's, and people always start from the bottom. And then there's just moral dilemma of like Hassan, for example. Mm-hmm. He put in this work and gains popularity over time. And then now he's being dunked on for being successful. Mm-hmm. So that like paradox or that is what I was thinking of, like, dang, like, when is it okay for, I personally think it's always okay for someone to.
Like, when is it seen as acceptable?
Yeah, I guess so.
As long as politicians and Wall Street and the owners of corporations are getting paid so much money for exploiting people, it is okay for independent and small business owners to make money.
Very true.
Because we do a lot more than they do, or a lot less.
Before we
actually have to come up with our own ideas instead of stealing them.
Yeah. Wow. Bar. That's the bar right there. And I wanted to read this post before we get too far away from the religious things about the muskrat love. You must be in Michigan. So I don't know why we were looking at muskrats, but I just wanted to read next.
We were having a Kim Possible debate.
Maybe. I don't remember. The National Catholic Register, muskrat love, you must be in Michigan. There's a longstanding permission dating back to the 1700 of missionary origins or whatever, where you could eat muskrat, including Fridays of Lent. So if you want to break your Lent with a little bit of muskrat meat.
What?
Look, that's what it says. It says, go to ncregister.com to and then look up muskrat
don't
love.
Don't give them any money. Don't look this up.
Okay, fine.
Hey, you made it. Thank you so much for listening. If you liked what you heard, please share, like, DM me on Instagram and Twitter at Zay_SMR. I'm also on Discord. And if you go to zaysmr.wordpress.com, there's also a blog of all my episodes there that I'm going to be updating. I appreciate you so much. Take care.